glad you're here. We're glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, March 20th, 2026. As we continue our study through the Beatitudes, we come to a powerful and timely word from Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. In a world filled with conflict and division, what does it really mean to be a peacemaker? Today we'll explore how God calls us not just to avoid conflict, but to actively bring his peace into the lives of others. Facilitating our discussion is the beloved Pastor Mark Johnson from Calvary Church here in Springfield. Appreciate his preparation, his passion for the lost, his desire to equip the saints, and his means and methods of study and practice and prayer, and to be available today. So we appreciate him carving out time. And he sincerely loves each and every one of you. He loves you in the Lord, and he wants you to walk and flourish in your relationship with God. And so he's going to talk about and facilitate our discussion on the peacemaker. So, Mark, we're closing out kind of our series this week and next week on the Beatitudes. What do you want us to know about being a peacemaker?
Well, I'm going to start off with the peacemaker. So let's think about April 5th. April 5th is Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday. I believe everybody hearing this radio broadcast is someplace where they can get to a church on Easter Sunday and really hear about the great peacemaker, the one who came to make peace between us and his Father in heaven. And I just want to encourage all of you that are listening today, find a Bible-believing church, a church that preaches the resurrection and believes the resurrection, and go there and find out what it's all about and just be encouraged by it. Now, Good Friday is April the 3rd. There are many places where they have Good Friday services, and that's when we commemorate Christ giving himself on the cross, paying the price for us, coming and sacrificing himself. Nobody made him go there. He went there as a plan of the Father to give his life for us. And I want to encourage you to go to a Good Friday service. I know here in Springfield, the Ministerial Alliance has one going on at noon on that Friday at the Capital City Church of God. If you're in the Springfield area, you're more than welcome to come join us.
And what I've found, Mark, as we've been studying through these Beatitudes, how they parallel so oftentimes with the fruit of the Spirit. Is that out of Galatians?
Galatians chapter 5.
The love, joy, peace, patience kind of.
Yes.
And this time we're looking at peace. And anytime, listening friend, you operate outside of the fruit of the Spirit, you're not bringing peace into the environment, into the situation, into the conversation. You're probably operating in the flesh. In fact, Huey Freeman, our vice chair, is joining us all the way from Monticello, Illinois. And we had, what, Huey, about a 30-minute conversation about the fruit of the Spirit and seeking God's leading and how to have him active and involved in your life. But that's one of the things about these Beatitudes that Jesus taught on. You have to operate in the Spirit with those fruits.
Well, the peacemakers are called sons of God. So here in Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So Paul always did a good job of explaining in more detail some of the things that Jesus was teaching. For it says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Abba, Father means daddy. It means that Jesus brought us to be in a close relationship with the Father God, the Almighty God of the Jewish people and all creation. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together.
Mark, I'm going to ask you to recap that blessed, because we have a few new guests in the studio today. In fact, I think we're at capacity crowd, but what does it mean, like, blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are those who mourn, blessed, you know, what does that word mean?
Well, many theologians that translate this passage, people like John Calvin or Charles Spurgeon and others, translate the word blessed or blessed to be happy. It's about the inner soul of man and how the inner soul of man finds happiness and joy in life. But the word blessed is really important because it means that this happiness is not about a circumstance. It is about what God endues within you, what he puts in you, the peace that comes in you, the joy that comes in you because you are walking in right relationship with him.
So blessed are the peacemakers. Oh, listening friend, do you want to be blessed? Are you a peacemaker? Do you bring peace to the situation or the conversation you're in? Well, we're going to learn all about it today.
So the question we want to ask the people in this room is, what is a peacemaker? A peacemaker is different than somebody who has peace. But what is a peacemaker and what is the opposite of a peacemaker? Anybody want to talk about that for a moment?
I think right away, a rabble-rouser. Do we still use that word? I don't know. I grew up, you rabble-rouser.
Well, I think a peacemaker is one who continually look to harmonize or bring harmony and brotherhood in whatever circumstances they find themselves. And when I looked at the topic before I came here, I was thinking about how every time we take people on these mission trips to Ghana, God always puts in our path people from various degrees of either just not knowing about him or walking with him or from a completely different religious persuasion. And it's amazing to see how when we take these people with us, how God transforms their hearts. Many of them have never been in the midst of Christians or Christ followers. And for them to see what it looks like, to come face to face with it, we see the transforming work of Jesus Christ. It's like they fall in love with Jesus. Maybe they learned that Jesus is a prophet or Jesus is just a man or a great guy. But when they see what he's doing, man, it's transformative. And that's peacemaking, I think.
I'm going to maybe put you on the spot, Mark, because you have prepared remarks. You've prayed it up. But maybe for the listener, too, set the stage. Here's Jesus on the mountainside, we believe, you know, maybe overlooking the Sea of Galilee, a grassy area. There's thousands of people sitting around. And he decides to preach this message, to share these topics. Blessed are the pure in heart and the many different things. What do you think his intent is? And maybe what's the intent for the listener tuning in today? What should they draw from these wonderful statements of Jesus?
I think when we get down to this one, and all of these, he's building step by step on what a right relationship with God is and what a right relationship, what happens in us when we have that right relationship. And I think when he's getting down to this point, he recognizes that we cause trouble for each other. I mean, you go into almost any kind of group setting, and there can be someone there who is disruptive, someone there who is undermining, someone there who just doesn't want to go with the flow. They may not be openly resistant, but they kind of got their heels dug in, and they're not going to move. And so I think he's talking to us about how do we help people and calling us to help others and help ourselves to build a place where there is peace in it because our relationships are right. So think about it for a moment. Can you think about Bible characters who were not peacemakers but were on the opposite side of that and maybe troublemakers? Anybody have a name for me or a couple of names?
Samson.
Samson.
Okay. King Saul.
King Saul.
Tad, you said Peter earlier.
Yeah, I was just thinking of Peter. He was always sticking his foot in his mouth and misinterpreting
pulling out a sword.
Things. Yeah.
Saul.
When I think of one of the chief troublemakers, I think of Absalom.
Oh, yeah.
Absalom caused great trouble to David. Absalom was David's son. And he'd killed his brother for raping his sister. I mean, it's a sordid affair. And then he finally comes back. And what does he do? He goes out and he sits at the gate. And he begins to console people who've come there to try to get an answer to some problem. Did he get up in the morning and say, I want to cause trouble, I want to steal your heart or take the kingdom for myself? He didn't tell him that. No, he was smooth. He was kind. He got up and hugged them and loved them. He was smooth and ingratiating, and he took time with people. See, troublemakers have plenty of time to plant the seeds of trouble. If they spent the same time working just as hard to serve people who are far from God and draw them to God, they would have great fruit. But boy, you give them a seed that they don't like, something that they want to come against, somebody that they want to stop, and they've got all the time in the world to go and sow discord. And they don't do it by coming in saying, I'm going to try to disrupt your family. I'm going to try to drive a wedge between you and your wife. I'm going to try to drive a wedge between you and your boss at work. I'm going to try to drive a wedge between you and your pastor. They never say that. They come in with a big smile. They've got more time to spend. They're going to hug you and love you and be sweet, but they're all the time, they're stirring trouble. So, Mark, you talked a minute ago about the fruit of the Spirit. I want to back up. That's Galatians 5:22. Let me back up and read a passage for you. Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of rage, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. He said, this isn't a complete list. Things like these. I warn you as I warned you before that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So here's my question. What would happen in a Bible-believing church if there was open sexual immorality, open idolatry, open sorcery, open drunkenness, open orgies? What would happen in a Bible-believing church if those things surfaced in the church?
Condemnation.
Condemnation.
Chaos.
Chaos, correction, discipline, order. Now, think about it this way. Think about this list. How do we respond as Christians to strife, to jealousy, to fits of anger, to rivalries, to someone stirring dissension, to someone stirring division, to someone who's walking in envy? Do we deal with those as seriously as we deal with sexual immorality? Or do we just kind of ignore those? Do we not even recognize them? Do we not pay attention to them? And they're working, they're in the process of causing problems in a home, problems in a church, problems in relationships. They're troublemakers. They're troublemakers. So can we recognize the work of the troublemaker?
By their fruits. You
by their fruits. Yeah. We should pay attention and be aware. But I'm going to tell you, here's the problem. They come as an angel of light.
Yeah.
It's the big smile. Mm-hmm. I've known troublemakers who were really funny.
Yeah.
I mean, they could tell their story in a way that made everybody laugh, and all the time they're digging someone. Mm-hmm. All the time they're planting a seed of trouble. I mean, do you understand? Gossip is a form of troublemaking.
I was about to get that. We do recognize these things as an opportunity. Did you hear what so-and-so said? Did you hear what they did?
Yes.
We recognize them just the wrong way.
And I would tell you, Tim, I think that's good, because you can be a gossip telling the truth. You can be a troublemaker telling the truth in the wrong places to the wrong people for the wrong motive. A peacemaker may see something, but he's going to go to the right places to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to deal with it in the right spirit. He's not going to undermine someone or undermine somebody's faith or relationship. I'll tell you, I'm going to confess to you. I have a harder time in my spirit with the person claiming to be righteous, but has never stepped up to lead, that judges those who are and judges others and causes division in the work of the kingdom of God. They put on the title of Christian, but they undermine their pastor, they undermine their leaders, they undermine other people in the church, and they cause trouble wherever they go.
There's an ancient story from the secular world of the sword of Damocles. And, you know, one of the citizens was saying, oh, the king has it so easy. All he has to do is sit on the throne all day and just tell everyone what to do. And so the king let him sit on the throne. But he had suspended above the throne by a single thread a sword hanging over him to man. All of a sudden, it was very uncomfortable sitting on the throne, knowing the weight, and just a little error is all it takes, and everything comes crashing down on you because you're the leader.
Now, I think we have to watch our hearts in all of this, because that's an issue of somebody looking at someone else and not seeing the responsibility they carry. I try to teach my children when they were growing up, and they all have different talents, different abilities. God's gifted them in different ways. That life is not a competition. Life is supposed to be a celebration. I'm supposed to be able to look at somebody else's gift, somebody else's position, somebody else's talents and abilities, and rejoice in that, and rejoice in what God has made them, and not be jealous of their ability maybe to sing or to lead or to do some thing that they do, but to be supportive. Division is an act that undermines. Mm-hmm. It hurts reputations.
Yes.
They're only merciful to their own, and they're not merciful to others. And so the church, if we're going to be a healthy church, a healthy family, we've got to recognize it. My wife and I came to a decision very early in our marriage that if one of us was uncomfortable with somebody else in the relationship with our family, if we felt like that person was causing division or separation or confusion between the two of us, that all one of us had to do was say, I don't like what they're doing in our life. I don't like what they're causing in our life. And we would both say, if one of us disagrees with what's happening with this person, we're both in unity. Mm-hmm. We're going to pull away from that relationship. We're not going to be involved in that relationship. Keeping the unity of the family. If we saw somebody trying to influence our children, we are very, very careful. Who are we going to allow to influence our children? Who am I going to put them under to lead them? Who am I going to put them under to speak into their life? Who am I going to allow to have a word into their life? We didn't want anybody having that word that didn't have the same vision for their life that we did, that they would be godly women and godly men. And so we tried to keep that division away from our family by protecting the family. That's the role of elders. That's the role of church leaders, is to protect. That's the role of the church member. We protect the family.
Amen.
From those who want to cause division. The enemy's in all of these things. The enemy, it's a work of the flesh. He appeals to something in us. And it's a work of the flesh that wants to bring destruction and wants to bring division.
You know, you were saying earlier, Mark, how troublemakers have a lot of time on their hands, so they can kind of perfect it. And I thought about Satan, who's literally had centuries of experience and knows the weak points that people have or how to insert into conversations or how to mislead somebody or whatever. So we have to be really cognizant of the fact that Satan's behind much of this troublemaking. And when we operate in the flesh, we become his tool.
I would just tell you, Mark, I think all that's right on as we think about developing the gift of discernment. And if you're going to walk in a healthy church, you've got to have a group of people there that are growing with this gift of discernment and are committed to right causes. Now, leadership should be able to point, why is this a right cause? Why is this a right place for us to walk in? But we have to be a people who discern when the enemy's trying to break that up. There was a mother in our church. I was a good friend with her. And when she passed away, she had cancer, and she passed away after her children were adults. And I know all of her children. And I was talking to them one day about what did they learn from their mother. And one of them talked to me about the fact that whenever one of the other children told her about something good one of the other children had done, that she was certain to repeat that to the other child. And if one of the other children said something negative about the other child, she never repeated that. She never heard that word carried forward to her. The mom became a peacemaker. Mm. And she honored her mom because she was a peacemaker. The peacemaker shares the good things, but guess what? The bad things die with them. I'm going to tell you how to stop troublemakers. Number one, don't be one. Don't be one. Number two, when they come to you and say something to you, here's a great answer for them. So they come and they talk to you about, you know, somebody else in the church, somebody else here. Here's a way they'll stop coming to you really fast. Okay, let's go talk to them. Let's go talk to them. You're upset. Let's go have a chat with them. Hey, I was just talking with Tim, and he's mad at you, Liz, and let's talk about it. He thinks what you did was bad. Let's talk about it. It won't be long till Tim's going, I'm not going to go tell Mark that anymore. He's going to drag me off to that person. We put an end to it by just saying, hey, we're not going to live with this. We're going to bring peace in these things. I always want to ask somebody when they bring trouble, they say bring something somebody negative has said about me, why are you telling me this? Mm-hmm. Well, I thought you should know. Why? Why did you think I should know? Why did you think I should know what they're saying or what they've done? Maybe they were having a bad day. Maybe they weren't feeling well. Maybe they misunderstood me. Why did you think I needed to know that? And secondly, what did you say to them when they said that to you? Mm-hmm. My dad had an associate once, and he'd gone down to this barber shop and was getting his hair cut. And while he was there, he was sitting next to this guy, and he says, what do you do? He goes, well, I'm one of the associate pastors out at Calvary Church. And this guy just went off on my dad. He's a dirty crook. He's just a dirty crook. So the guy comes back into the office, and he comes into my dad's office. He says, I was getting my hair cut today, and this guy said you were a dirty crook. And my dad looked at him and said, what did you say to him? And he said, I didn't say anything. I didn't know what to say. Dad said, thank you very much. When are we going to defend our brothers and sisters? Right. When are we going to stand up and say, that's not the way I find him to be at all?
Yes.
I find him to be very kind. I find him to be very conscientious. Okay. I find him to be very loving. I find him to be very patient. Maybe you got him on a bad day. Mm-hmm. When are we going to defend each other?
Mm. Oh, listening friend, as we've seen today in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, peacemaking is more than a personality. It's a calling for each and every one of us. God invites each of us to reflect his heart by bringing peace into broken situations, pointing others to Christ, the ultimate source of peace. May you go out today as a peacemaker. Wherever you go, as you go, bringing the peace of Christ into your experience and blessing those that come in contact with you so we can be called those children of God. If you missed a portion of today's broadcast, want to hear it again or pass it on to a friend, stop by greatnewsradio.org or wluj.org and they can listen or you can listen anytime. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Pastor Mark Johnson, and a room of friends with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day, night, and weekend.
Amen.
Yeah. All right, everyone.